Hello and welcome to an edition of Warriors Plus Minus, Warriors All 82, one of the two. Marcus Thompson is probably going to be in LA, so we might do, maybe we'll call the Plus Minus Tuesdays from the Warriors, big game in
Warriors
LA.
Warriors Minus MT, we're calling it tonight. And then Tuesday
will be plus Tim Kawakami.
Warriors Minus me on Tuesday, but plus me today.
Well, you showed up for the Jazz game. That's a big grind.
Big ball game.
Were you playing like 10 minutes for the Jazz tonight? Did I see you coming off the bench?
Subbing me in, yeah. I was a minus three, but I think I held my own out there.
Minus three for the Jazz right now is a plus. That's what they want. So, good job.
Like, oh, wait a minute. They're rallying here. Do they really want this? No, they do not. He puts all the subs in at the end. Like, yeah, it's time for Utah to do that. Wait a minute. They start their subs. This is unbelievable. You know, they're not a great team, but they're not playing Markkanen. They're not playing John Collins. Not playing, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But, hey, Warriors won the game. That's all that matters. It's on the schedule. They got Utah again to finish the season. So let's give them another win. Like, this is the way the league works.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a lot of fortunate or unfortunate aspects to a schedule when you get teams, right? And they're getting Utah at the correct time, you know, because there was a point, Utah at one point in the season won, like, remember, like 13 out of 15 or something like that?
Yeah. Well, they had some decent players, right? Like last season, they got decent players. Well, they traded some of them last season, but
they traded some of them this season. Yeah, I remember the Warriors got them in Utah even at a really fortunate time twice because they had it was right before the trade deadline. They just traded three rotation players and the entire team was like, depressed because it was like they were kind of like frisky before that. So
three Utah games when they've thrown up their arms. But hey, listen, the Warriors have some interesting things going. You know, I don't think Kerr, I asked them, like you said, you know, you could see a hot run coming, 10-0. They're not going to go 10-0. But do you feel like this is what you're talking about? And he didn't quite say, yeah, we played great tonight. He didn't say that. But and they lost in Dallas, which was a huge game. He has repeated that now. That was a pivotal, you know, if they win that game, they could be looking at seven. They could be trying to get to seven at least. Well, seven is now out.
If Clay hits that three, they have 1-8 in a row at this moment.
And they're like a game and a half out of like the seven slot or whatever, the seven slot with playing some of these teams, you know, on their schedule. As it is, like they can win out. They can absolutely win out. Big game Tuesday in LA. If they win out, I think they're going to be the nine. And I think they are. Yeah, they won't be the nine, right? Well, they will be the nine because the Lakers, as we are talking,
are down 12 in the fourth with no Anthony Davis.
Lakers lose, you might know better than us if you hear this later. But assuming the Lakers lose, if the Warriors win out, they will be at least a nine, and they might be the eight because you know with the Kings playing
teams. I'll tell you right now, the Kings. You need the Kings to lose three out of their last four, but the Kings are playing at Oklahoma City Tuesday. Then they have the Suns and Pelicans on a back-to-back at home next Thursday, Friday. Their last game of the season is Portland. You expect to win. You almost need the Kings to lose their next three. Possible because the Kings are wobbly now.
And banged up.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, no Malik Monk. So we'll see. Or you would need the Pelicans to lose three or four. And you get the Pelicans once, and you would get the tiebreaker.
They sure could have used the Pelicans to lose tonight.
Phoenix.
Really could have used that.
But last game of the regular season, Pelicans are in L.A. against the Lakers. And the Pelicans are also playing the Kings.
Yep.
The Pelicans' last three are Kings, Warriors, Lakers. So it's, you know, we could get to the point last day of the regular season if one of those Kings or Pelicans loses two out of the next three that you're sitting there with the possibility to get to
the pregame was talking about, you know, we might know some more things. And, you know, I was asking them, could you be sitting more guys? They're not going to know more things. This is not going to be decided at least until the second to last game and maybe not until the last game.
Well, you know what they might know. Let's say they go to L.A. and lose on Tuesday. Particularly if the Pelicans being like, there might be a point that, you know, especially if they lose in LA on Tuesday, they might just know, look, you're 10. Rest up for being 10.
They will not know if they keep winning. If they lose, then they will know. And there's like, that's what I thought tonight was like
a benefit to that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, not that they thought they were going to lose to the Jazz at any point, but I also thought if you sit Curry and you lose, you kind of decided it, right? You could like sit Curry again. You could sit Draymond because it won't matter. You're the 10. By winning, you know, they were going to win this game. But by winning it and then by winning the next one, they might have to keep playing guys. So there's a benefit to it and there's a loss to it. But I think you just for the spirit of the team, for the mood of the team, you sat Curry this one time. And if you keep winning, you do not sit him again. You just don't sit anybody because you want to play your way into this as far as you can get. Maybe they get to 9 and they host 9-10. Maybe there's a chance they get to 8 and you want to feel that. and you want these guys. Like, this might be the most pressure they have other than the play-in, because they could lose a play-in and then be out. Yeah. Like, you want to feel it this whole way. You don't want to, yeah, you know what, we'll play the standings. You want to, well, again, we'll see Tuesday. Tuesday will be a huge thing. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win that game.
Well, I mean, LeBron apparently has the flu, misses to a big game tonight. Anthony Davis gets poked in the eye again, and he's missing the last three quarters. So, yeah, they're in a better health situation than the Lakers.
They went down there. We know was Davis went out in that game down in L.A., but that could happen again, or the Warriors are playing. You know, things are organized. I think let's talk about that, the rotation. Like, you get a sense of what Steve Kerr really wants. Now, this has changed many times during the season, but it's going to be Trayce Jackson in the starting lineup. Trayce Jackson Davis in the starting lineup. It's going to be Draymond at the four. It's going to be Wiggins when he's back at the three. It's going to be probably Clay at the two and Steph point guard. I think Przemski kind of announced it because he said, you know what, it'll be great when we have Kuminga, myself, and Chris Paul coming off the bench. And I just think that GP2 will be the ninth man and Moody will be the tenth. We're just kind of seeing this all laid out, and that's not bad. You know, when you I'm coffee too. When you have Steph and Wiggins out and your first two subs are still Kuminga and Moody, you're a pretty deep team. And then, you know, Chris Paul, he was starting tonight.
Yes.
So and played 35 minutes, which is pretty remarkable.
And by the way, him and Draymond like submerged in a cold tub post-game and came like Draymond came screaming out of the back how good he felt after
Chris Paul said it. Chris Paul,
they were trying to convince Trayce Jackson Davis that he needed a cold tub, and Chris Paul was like, I feel like I didn't even play tonight. And he did play 35 minutes. Yeah. And the Draymond part I thought was interesting because he was saying how good he felt because of the cold tub. And he only played 21 minutes tonight. He left middle of the third, went to the back, he was grabbing his lower back, walking to the back with celebrating, got it checked out, came back with a heating pad, apparently was cleared to go back in, but you could tell Kerr was really trying to not go to him.
Yeah, no point to put him back in after all that. Because then he cools down, and then what the hell you might...
I really see his rest opportunity Thursday in Portland, because they do have a Thursday, Friday back-to-back. And doesn't that Portland game seem like a game you start Kuminga next to Trayce, you see that combo. You're playing a Portland team that is attempting to punt the game to you.
Though has had some minus 58s and minus 56s from poor Scoot.
Feels like Draymond might need a night.
Yeah. I mean, or some 20 minute games like this one.
But it's a conversation we've had lately.
But you can't lose that game, by the way. Like, you don't want to lose that game before. I mean, I'm not saying
win in LA. Yeah. You're probably right. But again, they kind of superseded that tonight because you would say you didn't want to lose tonight. Yeah. But Steph's rest. Because you know what is like, and you know this, but it's just way more important than anything else. Play in game number one, you feel really like you're refreshed for that.
Yeah.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I mean, because you know what you got ahead of yourself.
Play game number two if you win. And then
get on a flight. But we're just talking about that, like what the writer's travel plans could be. You would have to open-ended flight to wherever the first game is, because you don't know. It might have to get on a plane and go to the next city. You don't know what city it's going to be. And then after that, open-ended flight, because then you don't know, you know, if you, well, I guess you would, maybe you would book for the one seat, but you would just be hopping along and they'd be doing the same. I don't think I'm going to make all three of those trips, Slater. I'm going to say it right now. I'm probably not making all three. I'll make one of them, maybe two of them, but not
three. If the Warriors make those trips, I'll make those trips.
Slater's but I just don't those trips.
Also, you know, if the Kings make the trip and the Warriors don't, I'll probably make that trip.
Slater's always got the Kings option.
Well, which, by the way, Warriors-Kings 9-10 is sitting looking, on the table. Looking
very, well, we'll see what the
tonight
Lakers.
Tonight was huge because the Kings get a win and the Lakers played themselves back into the potential 9, which, by the way, I'm not sure the Warriors necessarily. I think I know who they would probably prefer to be in the 9.
Yes, I think Warriors at Kings would not be the worst thing for the Warriors. They do, as Kerr finally even said it, hey, we're a better road team this season than we are at home. If you could get at Sac to start, I think that would not be terrible, because obviously it's just a bus ride. You're not doing the flight. You're coming right back home. Like, that's one where they don't have to get the open-ended flight, because they would just be busing right back home and then beginning on a flight to the next city. That would be the ideal thing. It would not be ideal at New Orleans to start, right? Or like anything where you're flying multiple time zones to start this thing would be problematic. Probably won't be, but all those things are on the table.
Yeah, they are. And the other thing why you would probably want Sac at some point in the play is like they're injured. You know, Kevin Herter out for the year, Malik Monk out for a month. Like they're redoing their rotation at the wrong time to be doing that.
And the season 7 of last year.
Yeah, I mean, then there's the ghosts and all that. Okay, so you mentioned it, but, you know, Steve Kerr seems pretty settled on the Draymond, Trace, 4-5. And that, you know, you could... I think in the long term, I do want to see some sample size of Kuminga out there as the three with them. But I also kind of think that they believe that combination, just from a spacing offensive purpose, would be trouble. So they're kind of trying to avoid it, which means Kuminga's coming off the bench. And
another reason why, because Wiggins has got to guard the best offensive player. Like, if you don't have Wiggins out there, then who's guarding the best offensive player? Is it Clay?
But he hasn't been that this year. It's been Wiggins. But Kuminga played 27 minutes in his first game back from combo knee tendonitis. He clearly wanted his knees to feel as good as possible before he cleared himself. And he felt good enough. He said he did. Kerr said yesterday he watched Kuminga go through a workout. And you know what? He looked like bouncy. He was 9 of 11. A lot of stuff at the rim. Had that really nice baseline alley-oop set up by Pajemski. 10 rebounds, which is always kind of a...
4 assists,
which is always kind of an indicator with the rebounds. 21 points. And then he said all the right things post-game. You know, he says he's, you know, I don't think long-term he just wants to... He's okay being a bench player necessarily. And they've loved the competitiveness and the pushing that he's done a little bit to force his way into the bigger picture. But for now, as he kind of mentioned, they're playing well for now. This Trace Draymond thing's working for now. And I think he's okay if bench means 27 minutes again.
Oh, yeah. Is he going to get 20? Yeah. Is he going to get 20 that many minutes every game? Possibly not. I'll be the one. I'm not so sure this Trace Draymond front line is the one that's going to be the rest of the season. They don't shoot well enough. I think it's a little problematic. I don't know. No problem with them doing it for now. See how it goes. I just think Kuminga is in a rotation. So you're going to play him with the other two and then rotate it and see how that goes. And whatever combination is playing right, you stick with. And I do think it's Draymond and Kuminga at some point in a playoff series. We'll see if they even get that far. I mean, Trace is playing tremendous. I get why they're doing it. Just the lack of shooting with him and Draymond. I'm not saying Kuminga is the greatest shooter in the world, but he can hit the three. He will take the three. Looked really good with a three in this game. But even the mid-range stuff, I think, is important. Again, I'm more of a Kuminga guy, but I get why they're doing it. I just do that rotation, just three-man rotation. Kuminga plays with one of the other plays with, you know, you can. That's the way they like it. And most teams like it. You have a three-man big rotation, and where each one kind of fits with the other in certain ways. If you want to go certain, you want to go faster, Draymond and Kuminga. You want to go bigger, it's Draymond and Trace. Like, you yeah, can the, different aspects of well, those two guys. Well, what's interesting,
I mean, you mentioned the two that I think for sure do that works. You know, Kuminga's the small ball forward, Draymond at the five works, particularly offensively. Draymond and Trace, I think, really does work defensively, and is clearly Draymond's preference defensively. Not that this has to be the combo, but he likes having the big back there. Like, he said it. But the big one that we don't know if it works yet is Kuminga Trace, you know, as the four or five. And we'll see. It's just they're young. We don't have much of a sample.
Yep. What I don't think they're going to do is Kuminga, Draymond, Trace with Kuminga as the three. I just don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And again, you take Wiggins off the table, then who's guarding the best guy? And it's just Kuminga is not doing it. We saw he had Juzang today, and we saw what happened there. He just kind of loses him. And then Juzang hits five threes in the first half. Like they just can't count on Kuminga to be that guy. At times, you can throw him at somebody, but he can't be the guy who does it. He's not guarding Luka in a series, right? He's not. That's not what he's doing. It's Andrew Wiggins when he's back, and I'm sure he'll be back for the Laker game.
Klay Thompson, 12 of 23 for 32 points in 28 minutes. Really hot to start. Continued what's, you know, he's been really maybe one of, if not the league's best three-point shooter for about 2 months now, really since the All-Star break, and you can tick that back one game, which is the game before the All-Star break when he goes to the bench. He is now back starting. He's in a good place physically, mentally. He mentioned beach day in Miami. He thought changed the whole team's vibe. It was really probably just him. You know, they were on a South Beach, like, hotel. I'm not even sure how many players actually went out there. I think he just assumed since they were staying in a hotel on the beach. But, you know, the warm weather, I does think help him because his mindset matters, and the warm weather does help his mindset. But he's playing really well right now. And, you know, it's funny. You grabbed him. He said something middle of his press conference tonight about how proud he was of his 74 games played. And I grabbed the mic, but before I could ask the question you did, which was, you know, you kind of made him elaborate on that. And it is, you know, sometimes you just take a step back, and it is impressive. 74 games played for a guy who's in year whatever it is now, but also, like, the two major injuries and, like, the durability. Like, this team needs it, you know, because at times they don't get it elsewhere.
No question. And, like, just the sturdiness. Like, you know, he's not going side to side. We know that it was never going to happen after those leg injuries, but he's just holds up game after game against bigger players or shooting the ball. He carries them sometimes. He puts them on his shoulders. So like today, Cortland and Oak Steph, who's shooting the ball? It's going to be Klay. They don't have anyone else like that. And I think he's rightfully proud of this. He's rightfully proud that he came back at all from this and that he's sustained. He's still going. And, you know, we can all project what that means for the offseason. Like, he's not taking just some kind of discount, happy day, you know, happy deal, $10 million a year or something like that. I thought there was a chance of that when he was really going bad early this season. There's no way he's going to do it. There's no way he should do it. There's going to be something, $20 million, 2-3 years, you know, $24 million a year after form, whether the Warriors
do it. If I'm the Orlando Magic, I am very interested in Klay Thompson.
And that's, you know, I'm not saying that's where his head's at. I'm just saying he's played his way. He's earned the right for all of us to just completely count on that there's going to be an offer out there for him. And the Warriors will either, you know, will have to match it or top it or whatever they have to do. That's the way. That's good. You know, you want a player who's exceeding the value of what many people thought he was going to be worth. And I just think this is what Klay's season is moving towards, and he's feeling very good about it. Again, not that it's exactly what's in his mind literally, but the overview is this guy's got more career left. This guy's got more career of being a very good player, different player, slightly less valuable player, but it's still value out there in the league, and he will be playing in this league for quite a bit of money for the next few years. So there's no question.
And I think that's part of, you know, you could see how he's settled into the season. And I think part of that is his future is a little bit, feels more secure, because there was moments mid to early in the season that you didn't know, like, what kind of contract. Like, it was fair. You know, you talk to people around the league, front office people, and there was questions like, you know, is it really going downhill? And I think he's just proven, you know, he could sputter to close this season just like last year. He hits 305 threes, I think it was, leads the NBA and made threes. But the storyline at the end of the season is how poorly he shot in the Lakers series. That could happen. You know, he could sputter out in a playoff series. But I think he's done enough. The sample size is big enough that what you're saying is right. Like, he knows something will be out there.
There's definitely a momentum to this that I maybe didn't feel, even the championship season, because he was just coming back. last season was just kind of like, yeah, it was good. It was, we'll see. This season, again, I feel like there's a push to it. There's like, yes, I see this role where it's going to be for the next few years. He's never going to stop being able to shoot, and he's going to be able to move enough where he's worth playing.
You know what else? He has accepted a bench role. He's now back in the starting lineup, but there's like the Band-Aid doesn't need to be ripped off, right? If there's points next season.
I think we're talking me into a different column idea that I was going to get. This is a good topic because he brought it up. And it is like him saying it's amazing that I've played this many games means like he is really feeling it. Like this is what's on his mind. Sometimes we get things just coming right out of his heart when he's up on that podium, and I think today was one of them. And it's going to be different for the Warriors. Like you're not, you know, I think there was some thought like, okay, if the Warriors pay him $20 million, it'll be like a charity offer, right? It'll be like just for the good times, like Kobe's big deal the final 2 years of the Lakers. You know, oh, you know, we're doing it to take care of a guy. This is not where this is with Clay anymore. I'm not saying it's 30. I'm not, maybe not even 25, but he's worth 22, he's worth 24, and someone else might pay more just to have him. And I think these things are kind of popping in his brain right now. Not again, I'm not saying literally, I'm just saying that overview of a career that now has more years left in it at a pretty high level. I think I am writing this now. Well, you heard me change my mind on my topic. But what I usually was going to write about was I asked Kerr, he mentioned, hey, we're probably going to end up with a better record than last season, which they win three more. I think it's they're better, right? I think they were 45 last year.
I believe 44. 44,
so three and more.
No, one more.
One more, yeah. They're going to have a better record. They could get to 47 this year. Yeah, 47, 35. They could, but they're in 10th. And I said, okay, you could have a better record. Do you think you're a better team? And he said, yes, definitely. We're a better team, better vibes. I think we all know what that's referring to.
He even said chemistry, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. They're deeper. They're just deeper. They can count on Kuminga. They can go to Moody. They have these two rookies that Kirk can plop into the starting lineup without a blink. Like, there's really – well, of course they're going to be starting. I guess Bajemski said this is probably the first time he and Trace have started together. But it certainly wasn't problematic. You were like, oh my god, what are they doing? Why aren't they starting X? Like, they were starting the guys who should have started with Wiggins and Steph out. I do, you know me, I mean, I'm gonna say it, their Jordan Poole was not great, and so they improved with Chris Paul. They got deeper by going with Bajemski. They got better by playing Kuminga more. They got better by having Moody whenever Steve plays them, by Trace Jackson. Like, they're just got more valuable players. I'm not saying, contract wise, because we know what Jordan got. We know something like that. They're just more useful in this system, on this roster, in that locker room.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're deeper. You know, they were doing the Wiseman experiment early last season. JaMychal Green kind of flamed out. You obviously had Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome getting minutes. The younger guys were not rising. But what was better last year that hadn't been better this season was, you had a better Wiggins season, but that, disappeared end. But, this season spiraled early because Wiggins was having a career low year.
Draymond.
Clay was in a slump, and then Draymond gets the combo suspension. And Looney, had dipped off. But we always saw that, the depth has improved. Wow, the youth is really showing. Wow, the first round pick, both draft picks were showing. And now that Draymond's back and playing on a regular basis, Wiggins is stable again. Clay's, kind of hit an uptick. Looney's out of the rotation, but Trace Jackson Davis is filling that center spot. Yeah, they're deeper. And we can kind of maybe even close on this topic. What this team needs the most right now, they need a really big Steph moment, surge. And that was part of why he sat tonight. He has not shot it very well for now a pretty extended period. And he was Kerr said he thought he looked pretty good in the Texas trip, but he didn't shoot it that well. And he has not shot it that well for a while now. And honestly, he's had a worse defensive season than he did last year. And I asked Kerr tonight, where does he see when Steph is fatigued, where does he see that show? He mentioned the word judgment. That's on turnovers. And that's on defensive lapses. And that is, if this team really wants to throttle up and make noise, which is going to be very hard, Steph has to get really hot. He just does. And I think that is why you see a game like tonight where, yes, they have to win, but obviously we're roasting them postgame if they lose this game and going, wow, they rested Steph and lost to the Jazz. But the truth is they feel the only way they can get supercharged Steph Curry is, like, let him charge his batteries. Yep. And they need
more games than he has in a long time, right?
In his 30s. Yeah, his 71 games played. You know, he's probably going to play at least three more. Maybe he's just the Portland game, but I'd say at least two to three more. So we're talking 73, 74 games played.
And that's like what, middle of the Durant era, or even maybe even back up a little bit since he's played this many games, as many minutes. We all know the other responsibilities he has. The problematic part of that for them is, okay, you get this fresh Steph to finish the last four games, and guess what? You're going to have a game, you know, like, he's going to get tired again. This is life. This happens. This is the play in life. But as Clay said, at least you got it, right? If they didn't have the play in, they might not make the playoffs at all.
I think
you
like that question.
With 47 wins, like, they've missed the playoffs before with 48. It's just a unique thing they're in here. Like, they are better. They're better put together. They're in danger of having a worse season, a significant, you know, would be considered a failure if they go out in the play-in, but they have these other things going on. It's just a very interesting piece together thing. Man, you know what? A week ago, it was Armageddon because Draymond got thrown out of a game. Like, you know, it's like, that's, I think you and I and everyone who knows the team was like, come on, he's going to get ejected sometimes. So you got to calm down a little bit. But that's just the way they're looked at, the way they're viewed, end of dynasty. It's always a part of the story, and I understand it always should be a part of the story, but they're actually better. They are better. Like, that's why I asked the question. They are a better team than last season. I don't think there's a doubt about it. They might go out and, you know, by 20 in a play-in game, and it'll be Armageddon again.
The other reason is, like, the West is just better. Know what I mean? Last year,
the top of the West,
last year, 44 got them to the six, which was crazy. And that also got them a three seed Kings team that was like 148 games and was like, we're the three? Crazy.
Yep.
I think that's part of why, like, the league is just a lot.
And hard. Also, because, by the way, OKC is here to stay, right? Minnesota is here to stay. Like, it's like you should see these young, Houston is coming and will be there, you know, probably be in the playoffs next season.
What's crazy? Because Houston's coming. Memphis is coming back.
Yep.
Victor Wembanyama, by the way, sitting at the bottom of the conference.
That is the general existential part of this. Although, you know, Clippers might be coming back, right?
Okay, I was going to say, then start trying to name one.
Phoenix might be coming back.
Maybe, yeah.
We'll see where the Kings end up, you know, long term. But, no, I think...
Is that some Kings down?
The discussion, yes. The discussion happens because... They don't have enough to beat Oklahoma City, right? They don't have, and like, how are you going to get enough to beat them? How are you going to get Denver, by the way? And I get that, but within all that, they've gotten better. Like, you got it. I just think is fair for Steve Kerr. He wanted to say it. And he's right. They're a better team. We don't know where it's going to lead. We don't know what's going to happen with play.
The season probably the better than 50% chance their season's over within like 10 to 12 days.
I like both these columns now, by the way, Slater. Like, which one do you think I'm going
to
write?
Guess what? It's Monday tomorrow, and then there's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You can write more than two columns in a week. I think I've seen you write more than two.
I'm going to write one of them. One of these tonight, and then we'll figure out what happens next time. I don't want Marcus taking one of them. These are fucking good ideas. No, he'll take one of them. He'll do something better. But it is just... I don't think you've ever heard me on a podcast say I got two columns tonight. Like, I am torn between these two very good columns. I'm not sure which one I'm going to write. Just is emblematic of a very interesting point in time for this team that isn't as simple and crazy and black and white as the world seems to see. It's so many other things that are going within the margins with this team.
All right. Well, Tim Kawakami has two columns to write, so I need to get him out of here.
Zero. I'll just go to sleep and write.
That's fine. I mean, you basically, you know, columnized on the podcast today. So,
like, can we put it up early and I just freaking transcribe it and there's my column? I'm not sure which one. I think I'm going to write Clay, though. Actually, I think I'm going to write Clay.
Okay. We'll look out for that. We will talk to y'all, me and Marcus, after Tuesday's game in LA, I think.